It's Morning in America. We are delighted to be joined by Chairman Klein, John Klein, Congressman from Minnesota 2nd, Chairman of the Education and Workforce Committee, United States House of Representatives. Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary.
How are you, sir?
I'm outstanding. And you?
Great. Going up to a graduation and a commissioning into the U.S. Marines of my younger son. So wishes.
Semper Fi.
Thank you very much, sir. I know you're a Semper Fi guy. So all two of them up there at Princeton, but we're proud of both of them. Anyway.
Outstanding.
You all been hitting your district with any of this weather in Minnesota? This horrible stuff?
Well, nothing like the horrible, horrible tragedy in Missouri. We did have a tornado hit North Minneapolis. We had one killed, almost 30 injured, quite a bit of damage. So these storms are nothing to trifle with.
Yeah, no, a terrible tragedy in Joplin. We're trying to help out here. Chairman, you've got some plans here for major reform of education programs. Tell us what is up.
Well, we're underway. As you know, our discussions on your program and person-to-person, that the No Child Left Behind, which is the current version of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, has major problems. It was a huge intrusion of the federal government into K-12 education and has proven to be problematic from coast to coast. So there is bipartisan agreement that we need to do something about it. There is a great deal of difference of opinion about how to go about that, and what we've decided to do in the House is go at it through a series of five or six individual bills to really bring out certain portions of the law, examine it, and make changes to it. And we're starting that process in a very formal way tomorrow when the committee marks up or starts to amend the first of those bills, which we have called Setting New Priorities in Education Spending. Basically, the short version of that of that is program elimination. There are some 80 individual programs inside the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, and we have a bill to eliminate 43 of those. It's just too complicated. It's difficult to deal with. It's an indication that we've got programs that somebody thought was a great idea at one time, and they just don't go away. So we waste money, we waste energy, we need to get more streamlined, more efficient, more effective, and start pulling the federal government progressively out of running education.
The whole child, No Child Left Behind, a lot of opinions on it. What is, would you say, is the consensus view of the main thing wrong with No Child Left Behind? The main thing or things that need to be fixed?
Well, the big thing, the overarching thing, is it's the federal government telling each school whether they're succeeding or failing and what to do about it. And so whether you're talking to a teacher, the teacher's union, the superintendents, the principals, the parents, there is almost universal pushback against that intrusion. So the federal government, as you know, comes in and says you must make adequate yearly progress. Every student must be on grade level in reading and math. In fact, every student in America has to be on grade level in reading and math in 2014. That's simply not going to happen.
Right.
The premise was bad from the beginning, and so we're in the situation where increasing numbers of schools are failing to make AYP. And so you have parents whose kids are going to a school. They know it's a good school. Their kid's learning. And yet the government is saying you're failing to make AYP. Now, I must say that one of the things that I liked about No Child Left Behind and that I get very little argument about is that it was a good thing to shed light on the different groups, to disaggregate the data so that parents and teachers and others can say, oh, well, look, we're not taking care of the minority students school, or the children with special needs, or the immigrant children or something. We need that information. But the prescriptive steps that the federal government, that the Secretary of Education can take and does take and must take by law are resisted by virtually everyone.
You know, this is interesting at the philosophical level. I want to come back to the things you're doing, but you know, I was in that job, Secretary, for a while and have continued to remain interested in the issues. It does seem to me there are interests and there are national interests that doesn't necessarily translate to federal in two things, for example, knowing how our kids are doing. As you said, you know, you want to know how different groups are doing. You want to know how the whole country's doing.
Right.
That's one of the reasons I supported NAEP, the National Assessment.
Right.
And second, have a sense that we live in a one country, some of these common cores that, you know, everybody learns math, everybody learns reading, some readings in common. The problem is the imposition of the federal government. These are things we could come to, one would hope, voluntarily among ourselves, bottom up rather than top down. Exactly. Are you in agreement with that?
No, I'm in complete agreement with that.
Okay.
That's exactly right. And as you know, there are wonderful things being done around the country. Real reform, real innovation, real changes. A lot of the actions that have been taken by various chancellors and commissioners and superintendents,
right.
In places like New York and Washington D.C. and Indiana and Florida, and lots of really, really good work out there to make changes to the tenure rules that the teachers unions have put in place. This crazy business where if you're last hired, you're first fired, even if you're the teacher of the year.
Yeah, we were talking to Scott Walker about that yesterday, Wisconsin governor. Yeah, that's what happened there. Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
It's just crazy,
right,
that you have that. So we want those reforms to continue bottom up. And my concern is that if you look at what the administration is doing with their race to the top and so forth, on the one hand, they will say that they want this bottom up, and yet it's all stick and carrot with race to the top. You do what the secretary thinks is a good thing to do, and you get rewarded. And if you don't,
yeah,
you get punishment. And so that's that problem, that sort of line that we were talking about, where you get the federal government starting to push a national curriculum or insist,
yeah,
on one. And as you know, that's been against the law. And I think correctly so. We don't want the Secretary of Education to decide what the curriculum is in every school in America.
Yeah, as tempting as it was when I was there to say everybody now should be reading the Federalist Papers, or how about somebody should be reading the Federalist Papers?
But see, that's exactly right, because
yeah,
you and I could sit here and agree on probably what that curriculum ought to be.
Sure.
But what we ought not to be the ones that tell every school, yeah, in Minnesota and Alabama and Kentucky what that curriculum ought to be.
Well, we get to these reforms, Chairman Klein. Is the point here to make the federal dollar more accountable so we assess and measure where it's going and thus we can track it? Or is the task to get the dollars out of Washington back to the states where, you know, some of, as you said, these enterprising governors and state commissioners will spend it closer to the people?
Well, it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
Of course, we want to be accountable for the tax. We want people to be accountable for the taxpayers' dollars, but we do want those decisions made as close to the classroom as possible. And so we are looking. I've been very clear that part of this effort is to start pulling back the role, the footprint, if you will, of the federal government in education. And we're doing that step by step, and we're doing it in a series of bills so that we can examine it, we can see what's going on, we can read the bills, and you and the American people can see what's going on and say, well, yeah, I think that's a good idea or not a good idea. When you do a great big bill, like, let's say Obamacare, it's cobbled up sometimes at the last minute, the last hour, with backroom deals. People don't read it. They don't understand it.
Yeah.
A lot of bad things happen.
Yeah.
So I am intent on not doing business that way. We're going to move forward so people can see this in the full light of day and make decisions and cast votes. But we are moving steadily forward. We'll probably do about three of these smaller bills before the summer break in August, and then we'll take up what I think of as the sort of really big pieces of what we're going to do about teachers and leaders, and frankly, at the end of the day, what we're going to do about accountability.
Yeah, that's where the big fights are going to be, right?
Right. Well, they're all fights. None of this
right.
is easy. But
no,
yeah,
I know.
That's at the crux of the matter. But I think we start laying the foundation in a series of other bills that we're underway with now, and by the time we get into the fall, I think we're ready to really take on. People will have a much better understanding of what the current law does, what the problems are, and what our options are as we go to fix it.
Don't you find there's some, at least some advantage these days in talking about accountability? I mean, hasn't the debate gone a little bit in our direction? A lot of the teachers' unions are on the defensive.
Right.
People are saying, gosh, these, you know, we're not getting the results. We had the movie. You know, your leadership here, the leadership of others, it's been a change. I've been watching this thing for 40 years. There's a change going on out there.
No, I think that's exactly right. And that's back to the point I was trying to make a little earlier about all this reform movement, or movements, plural.
Yeah.
The innovations that are taking place all around the country, and the very visible fight. You mentioned you had the governor of Wisconsin. And we've seen some very, very visible disagreements out across the country as we've looked at these issues like teacher tenure and what are we going to do about that, and what's the effect that that's having on the classroom, where school systems are forced to keep teachers who obviously, clearly are not performing, and they are then also forced to remove teachers who are performing magnificently. And so this debate is really very different. Had the governor tried to do the things he has done, and it's not only him, but Governor Christie and others around the country, Governor Plenty and others, if they had tried to do this 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, couldn't possibly have been done. But the national awareness, the American awareness, is really different now.
Yeah, you're good to mention Governor Polenti, and I should have as well. He's tried to do some very serious things in this area, hasn't he?
Well, he's my governor. He's also my constituent.
Yes, he is. Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, he lives in my district.
Good. All right.
And he's a really, really fine man. But he, like a lot of other governors, had to take on the public employee unions.
Yep.
The teachers union is a very powerful one, and really start to make some changes so that our kids can get the education that we want them to do.
Right.
And by the way, you mentioned NAEP. I mean, that's an excellent tool that we can use to sort of compare how states are doing compared to other states and schools to other schools and so forth. So
I agree.
We do need some measuring stick out there, but we do not need the U.S. Secretary of Education to tell every school in America how to do their job.
I agree. We are glad you're leading this fight or fights. Keep us posted. Let us know when you want company in the fight.
We always appreciate you in the trenches.
Thank you very much, John Klein. We appreciate you very much. Take care, Chairman Klein. We'll be back, folks. It's Morning in America. Your calls, all topics open.